Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
WVON 1090 AM Chicago, Illinois.
to report a roundtable show. Michael Lewis Ingram and Diane Grassi of BSN told you radio by the Raw. On radio on the Raw. BSBlackAddict.com. 7:01 Pacific Time. Media Regard. Don't come up in here. Because strong is real. Come on, speak your mind at 718-508-9216. Get your Philly group on with the Soul Patrol on Soul to Radio in the Raw. Every Saturday. My second home, WCLM and WCLM Online with Cowboy Reggie, the Sports Star Radio, Professor Tony Cobb, and the G-Man, Ben Brown, all by Coach Lou Henderson. We are against everything in this 9 to 12 Eastern Time. 9 Pacific, 12 Eastern Time. You want to hear old school music? Listen to the Southside Jack at 10 p.m. 1 Eastern. Get grown all over again. And we can't forget Chocolate Chip and the B.T. Brown. Get down. Mr. WCLM and WCLM Online. The heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia. Other Rogers, CEO, BSN, New York City, New York, and a plenty of BSN writers and broadcasters. Can't forget 707 and the 609. Go on to our other promos, our other guests. Here we go with Kathleen Wells.
Hi, this is the Kathleen Wells Show. For those who'd like to sink their teeth into some real information about politics and world affairs, check out me, the Kathleen Wells Show, which airs Wednesdays at 11 on KCAA. Thought-provoking, riveting guests, engaging and dynamic conversation, politicians and public figures, things of local and national interest. You won't want to miss it. Tune in every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. It's the Kathleen Wells Show. Don't miss it. 11 o'clock every Wednesday, right here on 1050.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Tockett is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory, because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts, Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
For information, blackathlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories. Daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out blackathlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Pastor Carlos Santana. Yes. Okay, we got congratulations to Latin Hall of Fame inductees 2012. Jorge Posada, catcher for New York Yankees, inducted to the Hall of Fame this year. Jamie Garcia, St. Louis Cardinals, pitcher for the World Champion Cardinals. Roque Velasquez, McMurray quarterback for football high school, way back in the 40s. Richard Morales, state champion basketball coach of Texas, St. Augustine High School. Okay, and who else? It's playing for 2012. Okay, so also the Latino baseball coaches, who have Dino Gaston, two-time World Series champion, back-to-back, and nobody done that since. Dino Gaston with the Blue Jays won the World Series in 1932-33. And now, what do you do that again? Since Jerry Manuel, and then with the Chicago White Sox, and the New York Mets, Lewis Wolves for the Detroit Tigers, Ozzie Guillen for the Chicago White Sox, the World Champion White Sox, and now the Miami Marlins, Manny Agda from the Cleveland Indians, and the Washington Nationals, Juan Samuel, who had retired for the Baltimore Orioles and played for the New York Mets, among other teams. Edwin Rodriguez, who played for the Yankees, and San Diego Padres, Benny Gonzalez, New York Yankee Bar team, and the Florida Marlins, and Joe LaRusa, the World Champion Oakland A's, and St. Louis Cardinals, one of the few managers that have gone both leagues, American and National Leagues. The older of members, Manuel Adrian Gonzalez from Cuba, by St. Louis Cardinals, in 1938-1941, Al Lopez, my favorite one for the Cleveland Indians, Preston Gomez, Cuban from Gopher Padres, and the Houston Astros, ending with the Chicago Cubs in 1980, and Cookie Rojas. I think Cookie Rojas played for the Phillies. He also played for the Angels and the manager for the Marlins. Felipe Alou, who now retired for the San Francisco Giants and Montreal Expos. And they have been a great influence in baseball today, happy Cinco de Mayo Day, as we continue with the celebration of Liberation of Mexico. Hope you enjoy the Latino movement. We are day to day. I get some more with Gloria Esteban. And you know this one. It's a remake. Gloria Esteban. Turn the beat around. If we get the computer going. Yeah. Okay, read on me now. Number 17, Dunn Dodging. Number 18, they forget. Number 19, I have another. With O'Neill as his jockey to take it out. Liaison, Bafford as his jockey. And Maya Dunnish. So the favorites right now are Demologist, Beauty Rags, I have another, and Bubba, those are the four favorites, in the 2021 field race. They have a added field. So it's going to be crowded, so anybody on the outside will have a very hard time to get in the inside. People in the middle could get crushed. So use your bet wisely. My horse is Union Rags. But we'll see what happens as the Triple Crown has not been known since 1973. 74, Secretariat. It's been a long time for a Triple Crown winner. Could this be the year? We'll find out, will we? At 3:35 Pacific time, we will know whether it started Triple Crown. News of the week. News of the week. Coach Paul Cyrus. Good decision, sit down, lead the Wildcats. Start the Wildcats with a 7-win record. Andy Pettit, the New York Yankee, Andy Pettit, identified in the Clemens trial. And he recalled the conversation about 88. This is a waste of time, a waste of space. A waste of energy. This old trial of Andy, Roger Clemens. They were after Barry Bonds. They didn't get him. Now after Roger Clemens with a weaker case. Say to your buddy, go home. Do something else. Baseball did not do its job. When it's supposed to do it, now pay the price. Delman Young gets a special Pacific Games for anti-Semitic remarks. Maybe he just stopped drinking. Might be a problem there. The New Jersey Devils and the ad center, Ilya Kovalchuk, in game two of Philadelphia, and we'll see the results later. The Nashville Predators has been rolling off and resisting violating team rules and it caught them. Not a play on Wednesday. The Boston Celtics also missed two key players and still beat the Atlanta Hawks as Paul Pierce scored 36 points and Thibodeau on his way to victory. The Celtics go back to Boston. And San Antonio Spurs coach, Popovich, NBA coach of the year. A great coach of the year. The fourth multiple winner of this award. Montreal Canadiens, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Vancouver Canucks will be going through a whole rebuilding phase. All three teams are struggling. Vancouver, the only way to make the playoffs the last 3 years. And Montreal has a new coach, Mark Belvedere, a general manager. And Montreal native, so he might get the team back on the right track. The New Orleans Saints, yeah, this story will not die. As Bounty Gate continues to bloom. Jonathan Wilmore will be out the rest of the season. And an ability to go from one to the other. This Roger Goodell has too much power. When he gives Wilmore a 16 game ability and 8 game ability for other players and 3 game ability. Wait, I got an idea. Why don't we suspend the coaches for a year? Why don't we suspend the trainers for a year? That would be the right decision for the NFL. This bounty gate is bigger than what people think it is. And we better take a look at this. When the NFL is going to do side of his head. Okay, you want to punish Jonathan Wilmore, but what about Brady? What about the coach in St. Louis? Hello? We got 808, 804.
Gary, can you hear me, my friend? Hey, Gary.
Hey, there you go,
can you hear me? How you doing, my friend? Great job as always, my friend. Yeah, hey, Gary, I'm reporting you live from Richmond, Virginia. And President Obama just landed. I'm looking at history, my man. I know we're talking sports, but anytime that opportunity to see President Obama and the motorcade come through, it's just like the movies, brother. I'm enjoying this.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
That's right. President Obama is here live in Richmond, Virginia. He's going
right.
to speak to you and give a speech, and Shaka Spock's going to introduce him.
You know, I'm back in California.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just stand there and watch the motorcade come by, but, you know, that's about as far as I can get. But, Gary, I'm glad you made an excellent point, my friend, about Roger Goodell. And, see, I blame the Players Union for this. And just kind of work with me, Gary. You ready for this?
If you
look at the Players Union, they are the weakest union in sports compared to the baseball union. And we know about the NBA union, just as Mr. Fisher, how they turn on him right now.
The players union
got concessions for certain practices. They got certain concessions for how they wanted to do certain things. But yet, when it comes to discipline and everything, they gave Roger Goodell almighty authority to do as he pleased. So why did you get upset?
Roger Goodell is like mind viewer.
He can do anything
and nobody can
cover him. Well, see, again, guy, you have lawyers, you have mediators, and again, the NFL Players Union really was strong, like the baseball union. A lot of things that Roger Goodell is doing now. Remember, it was the players who went to Goodell and them and said, we need to have a tighter hold on some of these players because they're acting a fool, and they out here, you know, making it rain and shooting up and doing crazy stuff with their posse. And they gave the major Roger Goodell a license to beat, give them a stick to beat them with. So they got nobody blamed but themselves.
Well, Roger Goodell is getting a big head now. He's getting a real big head. And this Indiscriminate picking and choosing of which who's going to get a name. My thing is, the coaches are responsible for this thing. The coaches
I agree.
All the coaches will be suspended for at least a year, and some of these guys never to come back ever again.
And see, Gary, what gets me is that, again, the players, I'm going to hop right back on again, the players union. They do nothing about the retired players. I mean, they didn't even want to talk about them. And Gene Upshaw did the players no benefit and no favors at all, the late Gene Upshaw. And again, I'm not going to speak ill of the dead, but as far as him taking care of the players, he did a horrible job. The owners loved him. The owners love you, that means you're doing a horrible job for the players. And what did he say? They didn't play for me. I don't speak for them, the old players. You know, that's why you have what's going on right now.
I think what's happening, see, the reason death of the player for San Diego, the reason I can't even name right now, but the reason death of the San Diego player,
Tell Junior Seau.
Junior Seau, yeah, thank you. Junior, see, now the Rooster goes home. The Rooster goes home. What I mean is, the NFL sounded thing for 5 years. They knew 5 years ago that this is occurring, and they did nothing.
No, I agree. And see, one thing,
guys,
I agree. One thing they do, guys, is when these players fill out forms and everything to try to get some kind of treatment, the NFL sets them and deny them. And basically what they're doing is waiting for these guys to die off. Because guess what? If you die off, there's one less claim I got to deal with.
Yeah. And what needs to happen is these players need to sue the NFL. Because
that's what's happening.
They knew about this years ago. They knew about this.
Yeah, well, Jamal Hill and the guys are suing them now. And I'll tell you one thing, guys. They can cry broke all they want with these lawsuits and try to put a cap on it. But come on, Goodell and them, like your man Mike talked about, has already expanded overseas. And these guys have so much money wrapped up. And these owners are not millionaires. They're a billionaire, some are trillionaires. So
yeah,
they can easily absorb any kind of lawsuit that's coming down from players.
They'll
put a cap on it.
And my friend Tony McClay said, if the owners are making, and the players are making X amount of dollars, the owners are making X amount of dollars.
Oh, no question. Anytime you see a player with a $50 million contract, that player is nowhere near making that money. But I guarantee one thing, that owner, trust me, this is what I say, between the tax exemptions from the state, between all of the loopholes of the concession stands, between the back doors and the kickbacks and everything, these owners and the other ventures are making a killing. You hear me? Jerry Jones, I wish your audience would see how Jerry Jones made his money in that little deal in Arkansas. It was criminal the way he made his money off those people, man. It was criminal.
You know, I want to get back to football. What happened in Washington, the Washington Football Club?
Not gonna be Gary Kubiak. He's not gonna be walking around like he did Elway and hold a clipboard. This guy wants to play, and he can play. I mean, you draft him that high. Trust him. What I say. He's not down for no draft pick.
Well, then it's Blake Gibbs. Look, I don't want Robert Griffin III to go to Washington Football Club.
You know what? Miami Dolphins should have made that deal. Miami should have stepped up and made that deal, but for some reason they didn't.
Well, I hope Griffin has a real strong mind and a real strong heart to deal with this movement in the wider world.
Yeah. I agree with you, Gary. All right, my friend, I got to roll out of here, but great job as always, Gary. Take care.
Take care of yourself. That was WCNF, Cowboy Reggie, Richmond, Virginia, the heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia. We're going to go across the country, we're going to go to 707 on. All right, no, you there?
707 is here from the other side of the country here, West Coast. I want to talk about this football violence. You and Cowboy Reggie were just talking about football violence and the lawsuits against the league, the death of Junior Seau.
Yep.
His family has decided to donate his brain to medical science.
Yes, that's right.
To look at the possibility of brain injury, concussive damage. Interesting, yes. Junior Seau from what I read, unfortunately killed himself with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest.
That's right.
There was another player some months back who did the same thing specifically to preserve his brain for the benefit of medical science.
Yeah.
That he was so plagued with what he believed was concussion-related injury that it drove him to the point of suicide, and he elected, as did Junior Seau, to shoot himself in the chest. An odd way to commit suicide, not the way it's usually done, not that I have any experience in the field myself. But interesting that both of these men, who may have been bipolar, may have suffered from depression, may not have been thinking clearly, but still, in their final moment, were thinking clearly enough to make that, you know, ill-informed choice, but chose it in a rather unique way to preserve their brain for medical science.
You know, okay, think about this. Think about this. You know how much energy it took to do that? You know how much willpower to do that? I mean, seriously, you're going to sit there with a gun in your hand, pointing at yourself. What is going through your mind?
Well, I think, you know, I think, again, I don't know, but I think at that point it's not so much, you know, heightened willpower. I think it's at the low ebb of, you know, the bottomless pit of despair.
Yeah. And I go back to the NFL, and the NFL is guilty. I don't care what they say or what they do. They're guilty.
Let me throw out another point of view, because I think you and Reggie developed that point quite well. Let me just throw out some other arguments here, just for the sake of argument and to stir the pot. One, a couple of things. One, assumption of the risk. Do the players assume the risk? They know this is a violent game. They've been playing it since they were children.
Correct.
And do they assume that risk, you know, in the foolhardiness of youth, that they're not going to get hurt, that they're invincible, that they're being well paid, that whatever damage they may incur, the big paycheck will cover it. And they assume the risk of playing. Let me make another point related to that. The San Francisco 49ers under Bill Walsh, who was thought to have been the professor of football, and brought in a clean approach, an intelligent approach. They were said, even in their Super Bowl glory years, to have been a finesse team, sort of a professor of the science of football, but still had some very hard hitters. Ronnie Lott,
right.
Hacksaw Reynolds, a number of other players. Gary Plummer talked about this. Their line coach, Bob McKittrick, who was known for standing out on the sidelines in, you name it, Detroit, Green Bay, in the middle of winter, wearing just a T-shirt to show how tough he was. He would never put a coat on. He was the master of the leg whip and how to sneak that in and how to do that and do it very destructively and avoid the scrutiny of the officials.
Right.
And that was one of his trademark plays. Well, very recently, someone wrote a letter, you know, to some sports journal, I don't know who it was, that basically criticized the 49ers. Oh, this all comes out after the San Francisco Saints, you know, headhunter and bounty. Let me just finish my point. And they say that, well, the 49ers were a dirty team. Well, Gary Plummer writes back a letter, and he says, well, you know, And the person who said that the Niners were dirty was a former player, and Gary Plummer wrote back and said, look, I personally put the hit on that fellow, the guy who's writing the letter, whose name escapes me. I personally put the hit on him. This is like 15 years ago, and he's still feeling it. Gary Plummer was quite proud of the hit and the lick that he put on that fellow.
Yeah.
And Gary Plummer recited a number of other players from those Super Bowl teams that said, you know, we didn't have to be dirty. We just knocked you down.
Yeah, well,
clean hits. clean hits. We knock you down. You know, we put your helmet on backwards, cleanly. But it's those clean hits that can cause great damage.
Well, there's a couple companies down in Washington and the Virginia area that are doing the new helmets.
Yeah.
And the NFL does not want to buy these helmets. The my thing is, if you're a sport, you don't have to protect your player, you don't have to protect your interests. Why don't they buy these new helmets? They need new inventions down in Virginia and in South Carolina.
What's their supposed reason?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And my thing is, you overtake the players. Why don't you buy these new helmets?
Well, you know, it may be, and again, I think this calls for some additional research by the excellent research staff of the Grey Leopard Cove to look into this very problem. It may be that with the extra padding that the helmet is bigger, thicker, it's got more padding, then it's going to slow your speed in the 40 down by a hundredth of a second.
No, but one of the inventors said the NFL stated that they didn't like the helmet because they didn't make enough noise when they crashed. They didn't make enough noise on TV or radio so they could hear the crash. Now, excuse me, you want to make noise?
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't think we really hear audible hits that frequently or with that.
Yeah, you do. You hear a lot of stuff.
Huh.
On TV, you hear a lot.
Well, I don't know. That's certainly disturbing if that's the truth.
Roger Goodell is master in chief. What he says goes. He is the only sport in the country where he can make up the rules, enforce the rules, and all the desire. It's the only sport where there's no arbitrator for penalty, there's no arbitrator for discretion. It's the only sport. Now, my question to the players' union is why you get your bargaining agreement, an arbitrator. They didn't do it. Why? I don't understand that.
Well, it's the contrast in a way. I do understand what you're saying, but it's the contrast between, you know, a strongly structured commissioner's office and perhaps occupied, theoretically at least, by a strong decision maker who does have power and authority and will exercise it to change the rules, et cetera, as opposed to a weak commissioner's office, baseball, for example, where you have a weak commissioner who defers to the owners and does not take strong stance.
Well, baseball and ability or a suspension, that player or that team can go to mainly baseball and go to the arbitrator to get either upheld or reduced. Football does not have that. There's no arbitrator in the NFL. Goodell make a decision, that's it.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, well, football's funny in a couple of different directions. You know, one, no guaranteed contracts. You know, I mean, all that money, you know, is, you know, unless you get it in your hand with a bonus, very, very few contracts are guaranteed. You know, unlike baseball, where many of the contracts are guaranteed.
Well, let me say this. If I was commissioner of football, not one single New Orleans state coach would ever step on the field again. Ever. And that's the inconsistency of the NFL.
A coach from what team?
The New Orleans Saints. Not one single coach with a New Orleans ever.
No, but I think the point is, Gary, is I think it's not confined to the Saints. The Saints have become, you know, the whipping post for this thing. But again, you know, as the Saints have correctly criticized, look, you know, the supposedly, you know, clean 49ers were dirty in their own way.
All right. I understand your point, but to my point, if you get caught doing it when they got caught the night of doing the Patriots, New England Patriots got caught cheating. Right? And New England was supposed to say no. They when you get somebody doing the wrong thing. Now you what, this year? New Orleans will win 5 games. What? Because you cannot have that kind of stuff going on.
Well, and they've also, I mean, perhaps correctly, they've, you know, ripped the head and the brains out of that team.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
of the punishments that have been imposed. I'm not denying those punishments are not correct. But, you know, when you take out your head coach and you take out a few, you know, key coaches as well, I mean, you've really ripped out your brain trust.
Well,
you know, like, where would the 49ers have been if they came along and they said, okay, Bob McKittrick, you know, you're teaching the leg whip, you're gone, and Bill Walsh, you're gone too.
And they just did it. That's your habit. The football is already a reservoir in the beginning of it. Why do that? It's already a reservoir.
Yeah. The thing that I'm surprised about, and it sort of disturbs me about, you know, the trend in our society and our culture anyhow is that there is an increased emphasis on the violence in the sport. I mean, it's an inherently rough sport. We give it that. We can say, okay, it's an inherently violent sport, but they seem to be turning up the dial on the violence.
Yes.
You know, and that it becomes like, you know, it's enough like...
Roller derby.
Was that old movie Powerball or, you know, the Roman Colosseum. You know, let's go watch people get devoured by lions and call that sport.
That's why football has become a popular sport in America. I really believe that because baseball is so low because there's no violence at all. Zero.
Right.
Zero violence.
Right.
Basketball, you may have a few scrimmages. And surprisingly, the popularity of hockey is rising. I wonder why. See, again, go back to hockey is the only sport where you're allowed to fight.
Right. But
and
even hockey's been trying to tone that down.
Yeah, but it's still part of the game.
Right.
And that's why popularity is beginning to increase.
Yeah, but here's a funny paradox, Gary. I think you will agree with me that, you know, it says something disturbing about our culture, you know, with the increased emphasis on violence in the NFL, but I know I've spoken to you, and you love to see physical contact in hockey.
But not, okay, physical contact, yes. Fighting, no. Hockey is a physical sport. Football is a physical sport. You don't need money in hockey. You don't need it. And hockey continues to play around with it. Look, all you got to do is outlaw fighting completely. It wouldn't change the game one bit. It would get rid of all the goon squads would leave the game. All the goon squads would leave.
You know, but it's interesting. The goon squad and the role of the enforcer, we were talking about this last week, I think, is an endemic part of the game. It's part of the tradition of the game, that there's always been an enforcer. And last week even you were saying, you know, if you want an enforcer, don't draft for an enforcer. Don't trade for an enforcer. Draft for an enforcer. Recruit an enforcer. Bring him up through your farm system. You don't waste a trade by trading for an enforcer. And I think you were saying that was one of the critical errors that the San Jose Sharks made in blowing a trade, giving up good skilled personnel to get a goon.
Okay, now, why me? Why me? But, see, you can be an enforcer without being a fighter. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Chicago Bears in 1980, they had no enforcer, right? They got Michael Singletary as linebacker for the Chicago Bears. What happened? 3 years later, they become world champions. You don't have to be fighting somebody to be a pussy. You play the game rough and tough, and don't take any tough. That's a pussy.
Right, but that becomes a sliding scale there, you know. I mean, one man's rough and tough and not taking any stuff becomes another guy's a headhunter. And under the guise of I'm rough and tough and I don't take any stuff. I mean, where do you draw that line? Hey, I want to talk about another thing. How many years has the Cove been on the internet air now?
Oh, it'll be like 2009. 2009.
Okay, so the Cove is building a bit of a tradition here, and I want to talk about a disturbing tradition that occurred to me this week, that we've heard about, you know, one of the odd baseball traditions, the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah.
Where Boston was under a cloud for decades for its, you know, error in trading away Babe Ruth. You've heard of the Sports Illustrated cover jinx, where if a person is put on the cover of Sports Illustrated, their career goes down in the toilet. And I've got a new thing I want to propose to you. It's called the Curse of the Cove.
What is that?
Last week, we were talking about the durability of Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, I saw that.
And no sooner is he mentioned on the Cove... But he gets an injury.
Yes.
And so I'm concerned here that we have the curse of the Cove.
You know, that really hurts the New York Yankees. I mean, that is a severe blow to the Yankees. This guy has all the reliever records in history. He's a major part of the Yankee bullpen. I don't think he's going to survive this. I mean, no, because he goes at least 90 games a year.
Yeah. Well, that's actually how we started talking, of course, about the role of the closer last week, you know, as we were sort of talking about the beginning of the baseball season. And San Francisco Giants lost their closer, Brian Wilson. They've been scrambling to try to, you know, fill that position. And we were contrasting, you know, a couple of issues. One, how Wilson was, you know, a fairly young man, 28 years old. And Rivera, I think, is he in his 40s?
In 42.
42.
He's right, so, 42 because...
You know, but and we were talking about his durability and... And how is it that, you know, a closer like Rivera maintains his durability and his longevity over the years, and then he goes down? It does, as you say, open up a major hole. I mean, how do the Yankees now fill that hole? Rivera's done for the year, and there was some speculation that because it's an ACL tear and he is relatively old, that it's the end of his career. He's not going to put, you know, he was perhaps leaning in the direction of retirement after this present season. And between the injury and age and having to rehabilitate, that he may not come back.
But knowing this man's mentality, I would pretty bad him because his mental capacity to withstand.
Right.
And I understand why he said it. He would retire with the uniform on, not with the uniform off. That's part of it too.
Right.
So I think that he might come back for half a season or a quarter of a season and then retire. He was retired. In uniform.
For that position too, you know, I mean, it certainly depends a lot on leg strength. but, you know, not so much, you know, lateral movement, cutting and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, it's an injury that that a pitcher, you know, could come back from relatively easily, yeah, where, you know, it can be more difficult, say, for a basketball player, football player.
Well, knowing Mario, well, I know Mario, I think he'll be back in 2013 for at least half a year or a quarter of a year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now the New York Yankees, I got to reshuffle their bullpen now. But Robinson is going to take the lead. He's going to be the lead closer now. And this kid's very young. I'm wondering, I think he can't take the strain, you know? Because he's only 23 years old.
Uh-huh.
We'll see what happens.
Well, you know, it makes me fearful, you know, this curse of the Cove makes me fearful to mention anybody's name now on the air, because... things could tank. Let's see who. You know, it makes me think. You know, what team do I want to put the jinx on? I'll start talking about that team on the Cove.
You're bad. You're bad. You're really bad.
Let me talk about a team that another New York team that may already have the whammy on it. The New York Knicks.
Oh, they're look. Before the series even started, and they were only going to win one game anyway. So when Schumer went down last week, when Schumer went down with injury,
right,
and Sotomayor finished through fire hydrant, I mean, what are you doing in the locker room?
Right.
A fire hydrant. I mean, come on.
Right, yeah. Well, those were two things. I mean, two odd acts of, you know, the Ron Artest incident, you know, an act of violence, and even, you know, punching a fire extinguisher, an act of violence. I mean, stupidity, you know, losing control of your mental equilibrium, you know, late in the season here when you need to be focused and you're punching out fire hydrants and laying elbows upside somebody's head.
No, the Ron Artest issue and Sotomayor issue are totally different issues. My dad has a medical condition. Sotomayor is emotional. My dad, if he took his medicine, as he's supposed to do, that would never ever happen.
Right.
Sotomayor, again, I don't know what he was thinking. And now the Knicks will go out 4 straight, and what really is troubling is that the New York Knicks have not won a playoff game 16 times. That goes back, way back to the years of, I can't see the guy's name now.
What, John Starks, that period?
Yeah. The guy who came out of the Golden State Warriors. The drugs pretty well those years. At that time, the New York Knicks won a playoff game. Okay, so, and let me continue this, on the New York Knicks. They better sign Mike Woodson as a coach. If they don't, the rumors are already out. They want to get the Zen Master to be their coach.
Phil Jackson.
Right. And I'm saying no. Let Mike Woodson run this team.
Why do you say that?
Because he's 20 years younger, he's teaching defense, and that's all Phil Jackson's going to do anyway. So, give me a 20 years younger guy New York Knicks. I love New York. I love it. But come on now. He really is.
Right. Right. Is Woodson just on a 1-year contract?
That's right. Now.
And he did turn that team over from what's his name, D'Antonio? Part of their DNA and their blood. So it's interesting to watch.
I got two teams for you to watch.
In basketball?
Yeah. The Indiana Pacers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Those two teams, watch out. Do not play with them because they will burn you in a minute.
Now, that's in these current playoffs?
Yes. The Indiana Pacers and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Now, who's with the – do we still have Mike Dunleavy with the Pacers?
No, he got fired.
Oh, good. I never liked him anyhow. Yeah, the Grizzlies, another stealth team, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing the LA Clippers, and the Clippers could be looking outside, looking in. This series.
Right.
I'm not impressed with Griffin that much. People got on Griffin, and he becomes a moral man.
Mm-hmm.
So, Memphis is putting out of the whole series, and he never took time.
Yep. Yeah. I want to quickly, another team you told me to watch, different sport, was the St. Louis Blues and the Los Angeles Kings in hockey.
Yeah, well, the Blues could be... the Blues are leaner Blues. Yeah, they're going to be out.
You said to watch them, so it's, you know, maybe this was, you know, school time for them.
Well, they're playing each other. The Blues are playing the Kings, and they got to win.
Right. But given that, has that series of games been the education and the worth watching that you had hoped it would be?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I give kudos to Kopitar, Richards, and Jonathan Quick. Jonathan Quick is the fastest goalie I've ever seen. He made moves that I've never seen before in a goalie. I mean, Jonathan Quick is amazing. And I never see a guy do things that he does.
Well, he's just living up to his name, Gary.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's about right.
You know, you get born with the name Quick, and you better be quick.
And the guy is huge. He's 6 foot, like 6'7" and 265. He's huge.
He's a goalie?
Yeah.
And he's quick.
Yes, he is.
And he's with which team?
The LA Kings.
Okay, well, that's who I got to be watching now. Thank you for my education. You know, Saturday's not usually a school day, but it is, of course, always in the Cove.
You ain't going to go any day, brother.
Okay. Have a good Saturday. Good weekend. And next weekend, of course, Mother's Day.
That's right.
We'll give a shout-out to the 609 a week ahead.
All right, you do that.
And for mothers everywhere. Next weekend.
Well, we'll get you out of here right away. Get you out of here right away. Here. Hold on. and the cold every Cinco de Mayo and be at your house night. Enjoy the fun, but be at your house. Nothing going down in San Jose. Be cool. Okay. Remember we before the guests moved in? Before we do that, I want to get to the middle of the show here. We do our little thing here.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Tocchet is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
Hi, this is the Kathleen Wells Show. For those who'd like to sink their teeth into some real information about politics and world affairs, check out me, the Kathleen Wells Show, which airs Wednesdays at 11 on KCAA. Thought-provoking, riveting guests, engaging and dynamic conversation, politicians and public figures, things of local and national interest. You won't want to miss it. Tune in every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. It's the Kathleen Wells Show. Don't miss it. 11 o'clock every Wednesday, right here on 1050.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
And don't forget about the everybody from Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. With our outstanding guest, get his voice on with Joey McLean. I'm a radio social with Dennis. You talk about everything, baseball, basketball, hockey, and football. Take out the website at thebasketballpad.biz, thebasketballpad.biz. Okay, the Dodgers on Wednesday were no longer in bankruptcy as a new group take over the Dodgers. Tampa Bay, Ivan Longoria will miss think a few weeks of baseball full hamstring. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted rookie defensive tight end Eric Legrand. Legrand was paralyzed 2 years ago on a kickoff return against Army. Starting night goes Greg Zanaro, who now coaches the Buccaneers, wanted to complete this young man's dream of being drafted by an NFL team. LeBron will graduate Rutgers State University in New Jersey this fall. So congratulations to Eric LeBron on becoming an NFL player for 1 year, even though he's paralyzed. And he's thinking about staying with the Buccaneers as a broadcaster, stay with the team. Jared Weaver, this is the New York Mets again. Jared Weaver kicked more sand in the New York Mets face as the LA Angels get their 10th no-hitter. They beat the Twins 9-0, and the Mets no-hitter still stands at 0 over 8,000 games. On Wednesday, the New York Rangers and Washington Capitals played all night long. A 3-hour marathon, and with the battle of wills, the Rangers win 2-1 over 100 shots, 60 block shots. Another classic by the Washington Capitals, a I was talking about earlier, the Lakers and Dodgers may be the toast of the L.A. town, but look out for the L.A. Kings. The Kings are making a quick work, pun intended, of the St. Louis Blues. Being up 4-2 on Thursday, they got a 3-0 game, and their fourth game is tonight. In the Forum. In the Staples Center, not a Forum. The Kings, if they win, they'll get at least a week's rest. And then once it's better, the Barry Melrose days and the Wayne Gretzky days of the Silver and Black LA Kings. On Thursday night, the New Jersey Devils beat the Philadelphia Flyers 4-3 in overtime as center Kovacic comes back, giving the Devils a 2-1 game lead with game 4 tomorrow morning. We know about the Knicks already. Oh, yes, that was the Mavericks. What happened to these guys? They got beat again on Thursday night. They're down 3-0. And they look like they're not interested in playing the game at all. Kevin Durant and Westbrook are beating up down the floor. And what happened with Nowitzki? So, Coach Carlisle has got a burn under his team. But as Charles Barkley would say, the Mavericks are going to go home missing very early. It's Friday. You do homework? Did you support black businesses? Did you buy black on Friday? If not, your homework for this week. Buy black. Support your black community. On Friday, former Raven Terrell Suggs are out for the season with a hamstring injury. And this really hurt the Baltimore Raven defense. As a rookie, they got two rookies coming in to replace Terrell Suggs. He was a 9-year veteran. Tiger Woods, what is wrong with Tiger Woods? This guy did not make the cut. And you know, it's like I don't know where he is. Going into the trees, into the water, into the bunkers. Terrible golfing the past 2 years. Tiger Woods needs to get his man card. This story disturbs me. Tommy Reese, Notre Dame quarterback, 19-year-old quarterback, and you know the drinking age is 21. Tommy Reese at Notre Dame was caught drinking on campus. Campus police tried to arrest him. Yeah, Reese tried to beat him up. And he got charged with drinking under the age, resisting arrest, battery of police officers, and where is the ESPN on this story? Nowhere to be seen. Why? Because Notre Dame, of course. The NFL Players Union 30 games stretches and Sunday. It's all about getting an 18 game schedule. Bounty game or no bounty game. The Maine Coyotes with goalie Mike Smith. They get 3-1 commanding lead over the Nashville Predators. 1-0 set out. And yet the Rat, the almighty Rat, is doing it again. In full attack mode. And they made jokes about taking Whitman to the cutting. And going after Albert Pujols for not getting a home run. The more they change, the more they remain the same. You go ahead, 646-727-3249. We're going to take a little musical break here again. But let's see if we get here. Because then, you know what it is? Wells Fargo, David, and North Carolina, Nick Wiley did a one stroke lead. We were in Brazil with the HSBC LPGA Brazil Cup Championship PGA. In tennis, we were at Budapest, Hungary, while we were in a full schedule one in Germany, a BMW Classic, a Euro Open in Portugal, and the Serbian Open in Belgrade, Serbia. All right. 39th game of the week. It's regional action again. In the East, you have the Mets, Arizona D-backs. In the Central, you have the White Sox at Detroit. On the West Coast, you have Milwaukee at San Francisco. And Milwaukee leads 1-0 into the 6th inning. That's regional action in Fox Sports 7 Network. ESPN tomorrow night. Philadelphia is at Washington. Tomorrow afternoon on your local station, WGN, America, LA Dodgers and the Cubs. 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern. CBS, the Yankees at Kansas City. At 11 p.m. to Eastern. Monday night baseball returns with the Mets at the Phillies. And there you have the Tampa Cobra Day. We had a little Latino little fun. Hope you enjoy it. We're getting New Jersey over here. Doing New Jersey there about the Mario Rivera, season 9. Are you there? Season 09. Okay, not there. We will end our show on a musical note with Gloria Estefan. We're going to get you. Have a good weekend and a good night. Hope you enjoyed the show. Didn't get to baseball that much today because we had a full schedule with horse racing. The Cinco de Mayo. We ended with Gloria Estefan. We're going to get you.